live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey guys, you've heard of the Young Turks podcast because you're listening to it right now. But make sure that you subscribe and give it a 5-star rating if you like it. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Young Turks. Anna Kasparian, Brooke Thomas.
Woo!
It's one of my favorite situations going on right here.
Everyone knows you're supposed to join in on the cheering. I'm so excited about this. I love, because we don't get a chance to do this.
I know. It's very rare. I think it's only happened one other time.
This is like 2 weeks planning too.
Yes. And the stories today are fire in the entire show. Yeah. So of course we're gonna switch out the panel or switch out the situation because we don't have a panel today for the second hour. In fact, Dana Gould is gonna be joining us along with Mark Thompson. And he's kind enough to stick around for the conversation, which will be hosted by Mark Thompson as well. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. Dana Gould is one of the smartest people we've had on the show as a guest. He's of course behind The Simpsons. He has made The Simpsons what it is. And I remember hosting with him once before, and he just really impresses me with how incredibly smart and knowledgeable he is. So I'm looking forward to the second hour. In this hour, we're going to get to a number of topics that I'm looking forward to, including Cenk on Cuomo last night. He was so good that he's gonna be on Cuomo's show tonight as well.
He was so good.
Yeah. So we're gonna show you some clips. Also, one of the dumbest teachers in American history has been caught being one of the dumbest teachers in American history.
Well, one of the most evil people.
Evil people.
I mean, it's a high level of just nasty.
So nasty. And look, I love teachers. So this is not like an attack on teachers. This is an attack on a very specific teacher who didn't know how Twitter works. So I'm looking forward to covering that as well. But you know what? Let's get started with the fun. Let's get started with Cenk on Chris Cuomo's show.
Killing it.
Last night, CNN, specifically Chris Cuomo, allowed a progressive on the program, okay? And that progressive was Cenk Uygur. The topic revolved around whether or not Donald Trump should be impeached. Should the Democrats, particularly Nancy Pelosi, go after Trump with an impeachment inquiry? Well, we all know how Trump feels about that. He believes that that should be the case. And he was on Cuomo's show with a GOP strategist. Let's see how it went.
In regards to impeachment, I'm curious, Patrick. Nancy Pelosi tells me that you guys are looking forward to it. So do you want us to impeach Donald Trump? Say it right here on national TV.
I think Nancy Pelosi, if she wasn't as smart as she is, should be goaded into letting her caucus lead her down that rabbit hole of impeachment.
So do you want it? Do you think Donald Trump should be impeached?
Donald Trump would love that. And here's the thing.
Okay, but would you love it? Do you think Donald Trump should be impeached?
Is gonna do well with that when you try and sell it to the mainstream of America.
I am going to
sell it. There's nobody out there who gets this except you. You're going to try and do it.
Patrick, it
doesn't seem to be
a successful
strategy.
Because I hear from the Democratic leadership that you want Donald Trump impeached. Is that true? Do you want him impeached?
I think the Democrats should try to make their entire campaign about impeaching Donald Trump.
Okay, great. Then you want it. Okay,
as they did with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, Patrick Griffin. Looks like you want to get Donald Trump impeached.
Cuomo was having fun there too, watching that. He was like, okay.
His face. At one point, he even licks his lips. He's like, tasty. That was great.
He did a solid job.
It was so funny. I mean, just the reaction. First of all, this is what happens when you have a strong progressive on the news. Not only is it entertaining, which is of course something that they care about, but you have someone who's actually willing to fight, you know, not cower to whichever conservative is on with them. It was great.
Yeah, and we always talk about like, that's what we wanna see. We wanna see people just, it's one question you're not gonna answer it, or no, you're gonna answer it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So we have more clips. Let's go to the next one.
Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump We can both disagree with him, and I disagree with both on a lot of things. But I'll tell you this, Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump politically are playing three-dimensional chess while everybody else is playing checkers here. That's why the speaker has not moved to impeach this president,
okay,
and she probably won't.
Donald Trump couldn't play two-dimensional chess. He's never thought one step ahead in his life. Total loser through and through. And if you're saying to me, hey, Nancy Pelosi's not much of a strategist either, I would agree. But somehow you think she's great. And that makes no sense at all. By the way, Nancy Pelosi, Republicans think you're great. That should be a note to you.
That was actually my favorite part, because I, of course, know Cenk, and I know how he thinks in regard to Trump and any type of point that he has a strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets angry every time someone tries to say, oh, this might be Trump's strategy. So I love the fact that, what's his name, Patrick, mentioned strategy there, three-dimensional chess, and I got to see what Cenk's reaction would be on live television.
Exactly. You know? We all needed that.
Yeah. That laugh, that belly laugh was really good. All right, one more clip.
Okay.
Cenk, on your thing, so that's what you think it is. At the end of the day, if the Democrats don't go down that road of accountability, let's call it, because impeachment is going to be a process, but it's about accountability, you believe they lose their own party, that the party will say, you didn't do what we put you there for. Is that your argument?
As a matter of principle, if you have a president who says he's above the law and he's broken two clear felonies, like I said, broken two laws, well, you must act. If you don't act, you're abdicating your responsibility, and it's a violation of your oath to the Constitution. Can you imagine if a prosecutor said, well, look, the guy's clearly broken the law, but for my own political career, I'm not going to prosecute him.
Well, we just kind of saw that.
So I agree with Cenk's point there, but I'm actually really curious what you think, Brooke, because we haven't talked about it personally. Now, on one hand, you have those who say, no, Nancy Pelosi is really smart here. It's actually a good strategy because it would actually help Republicans and it would help Trump get reelected if they go after him with an impeachment inquiry. At the same time, you have the argument from someone like Cenk, and again, I agree with this argument, that even if it's likely that this would hurt Democrats politically, which I don't even think is necessarily the case. And even though we know that it's likely not going to go anywhere in the Senate, it's the right thing to do because we have a constitutional crisis here. Which argument do you lean toward the most?
Well, so exactly what he asked there, do you think voters, people are gonna be saying that, gonna be upset because, hey, this is what we put you here to do? Yes, because that's exactly what they're saying now. I think, mm-hmm. How many town halls have we seen where impeachment comes up from someone in the audience who says,
yeah,
I'm frustrated because was it Pete Buttigieg? The guy stood up and said, I'm frustrated because I feel like all the work we put in this last election and the moves we made with Congress, I feel like it was all for nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People are saying that already.
Right, and more importantly, yes, that there is that perspective. But I think what frustrates me personally about mm-hmm. how this is being handled by the Democratic leadership is that everything is a political calculation as opposed to doing what leaders are supposed to do. So I say this on the show often, leaders are not people who just simply follow the crowd or do what's gonna be good for their own personal career. Leaders lead, they put themselves in uncomfortable positions, they take risks, knowing that that risk is worth it because you're pushing for the right thing. In this case, you have a president who has not only broken the law with potential obstruction of justice, but who has broken the law in a variety of other issues. The illegal campaign, the payments, the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels and Kara McDougal. You have the fact that he was using his own charity to enrich himself. I mean, you have all of these different issues. The possibility that he inflated his assets to obtain loans through Deutsche Bank and then deflated his assets to allegedly commit tax fraud. These are all crimes. And no one, including the president of the United States, should be above the law. If you have someone like Nancy Pelosi say, no, I'm not gonna do the right thing here because it would be politically unpopular, well, then you're communicating to Trump and to other presidents in the future, you are above the law because Congress will not do anything to hold you accountable because they're going to think that it's politically unpopular to do so.
Right, like, hey, this is what we're supposed to do when put in this situation. When faced right. with this situation, this is actually what we're supposed to do. When we accept this job, we have agreed to follow these rules. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, no, that's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch. Because Absolutely. There's no real reason why not. They keep explaining, I think, well, this is what impeachment actually is. And everyone is like, we know.
We know, exactly. I know, it's treating the electorate as if they're idiots and they have no idea how government works, how impeachment works. We know, we understand the risks. But we also understand the risks of not doing anything about what's happening right now.
Nothing is being done, and it's all just being thrown in their face too. It's like, okay, well, we're not gonna do this. We don't feel like it's the time for this. We're gonna do something smaller. We are going to subpoena all of these people and have them show up, and we'll show you guys. We'll show you, we have a plan. And Trump's White House says, nope, we don't care about that either.
Exactly, we're not gonna cooperate.
What else you got? We don't care about that, exactly. Try me. We don't care about that. And for some reason, the answer is still, well, we don't want it. I don't get it.
And also think about this. With 2020 quickly approaching, you have Democratic leadership and some of the candidates constantly fear-mongering about how terrible Trump is. Which, by the way, Trump is terrible, right? I know that. I have to talk about it on a daily basis. But if you're gonna make the case that Trump is terrible, that he's dangerous for our democracy, and then refuse to, you know, even attempt to impeach him, well, then that will signal to some voters, oh, maybe Trump really isn't that bad. Right. Because if Trump is really that dangerous, and if this is really a constitutional crisis, well, then wouldn't they attempt to impeach him?
Wouldn't you be doing something about it?
Exactly, right. Exactly. All right, well, Cenk will be on Cuomo's program tonight, so please make sure you check that out. He'll be back on the show. It's Chris Cuomo Primetime. It's gonna be at 9 p.m. Eastern time, so please check that out. Again, it's on CNN. All righty, let's move on. A teacher in Texas has been placed on administrative leave, and apparently the school board has voted unanimously to fire her, but she is planning on appealing it, which is why she's on administrative leave. Now, what happened? Why did Georgia Clark, that's her name, get into so much trouble? Well, apparently she thought it would be a good idea to alert Donald Trump to the fact that she believes some of her students might be undocumented immigrants. Now, the only problem is she was contacting him via Twitter and thought she was doing so privately through a direct message. But she was, in fact, tweeting to President Trump publicly. So here are some examples of her tweets. Her Twitter account has been taken down. Mr. Trump, Fort Worth Independent School District is loaded with illegal students from Mexico. Anything you can do to remove the illegals from Fort Worth would be greatly appreciated. Then she proceeds to tweet, Texas will not protect whistleblowers. Obviously, she's referring to herself as a whistleblower. The Mexicans refuse to honor our flag. Anyway, so as I mentioned, these were public tweets and the school board was notified about it. And they did vote on this, what to do about the situation. And I believe we have the video. Let's take a look.
I move to approve the proposed termination of Georgia N. Clark's continuing contract for a good cause pursuant to chapter 21 of the Texas Education Code for the reasons discussed in closed session.
Looks like no discussion. Please move to vote. Motion passes unanimously 8-0.
Have you seen it? You ever see that meme where it's like, I love this song? That's how I feel there.
Totally.
8-0, I love this song.
Yes.
This is disgusting.
It is disgusting.
It's so upsetting.
And by the way, based on precedent through Supreme Court rulings, this is not something that a teacher is even allowed to do. And I'll give you the details on that.
Wait, yeah. That's another part of the story that a lot of people don't know, but she should have known. And also, I don't know what she's appealing because I would never want a kid in her class again.
Oh, 100%.
That classroom would have to sit empty. I would never want, no kid. Not just a kid who happens to be Latin American. Mm-hmm. No kid deserves to be around this type of hate. No kid, because you learn from your teachers. That's literally the only reason you're there. Not only are you they're supposed to educate you, but they're supposed to care for you.
That's exactly right. I mean, the vast majority of teachers in this country are incredible people who have sacrificed so much, including decent pay, to do what they do.
I still am close with some of my teachers.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Me too. I mean, when you have a great teacher, the impact that they have on your life is it lasts your entire life, right?
Absolutely.
And here's the thing though, it goes the other way if you have a bad teacher. If you have a terrible teacher who makes you feel as though you're less than based on a host of characteristics, well, then you're gonna carry that with you for the rest of your life. And so you're right, I would not feel comfortable having someone like that teaching my kids. I don't have kids, but if I did have kids, I'd feel that way. Now, just to talk a little bit about what the precedent is when it comes to issues like this, the Supreme Court ruled in Plyler versus Doe that public schools are required to provide schooling for children regardless of their immigration status. Schools cannot ask students about their immigration status or report them or family members to federal immigration authorities.
So it's against federal law what she was doing.
That's exactly right.
That's an important part of this, because there was a Republican women's group on Facebook who were kind of protesting this punishment and saying, oh, so she's being punished because she asked the president to follow the law. No, but she's being punished because she broke the law, let alone the fact that she's an outright monster and a little bit of an idiot.
It is funny to see this trend of right wingers who keep pretending as if they believe in the rule of law when they
don't even know it.
They don't know the law, or they literally go out of their way to break the law if they feel like they're against a certain group of people, and that's certainly the case here. So let me give you some background on this teacher, because this isn't the first time she's gotten in trouble for the way that she treats some of her students. According to the Washington Post, last month, one student asked to go to the bathroom, and then at that point, Clark told the student, quote, show me your papers that are saying you are legal. The student told investigators in an account that was corroborated by another student.
Can we just stop there just for a second? Just that moment is gonna stick with this kid for the rest of their life.
Definitely.
That's mortifying, it's hurtful, it's harmful. She did this, at least allegedly, to a child.
To a child who just asked to use the restroom. Why is that the first response that came to her head when a child asked to use the restroom? In 2007, Clark kicked a student, the review said, though an investigation determined it was without malice.
But it wasn't appropriate. I can't imagine any instance where it is.
Like, how do you accidentally kick a kid? Or I don't know the details of what happened in that situation.
But her foot hit a human being, okay?
Yes. In 2013 though, she was disciplined for referring to a group of students as Little Mexico and called another student white bread. Those allegations proved to be true according to the review. So at that point, the school board should have done something, in my opinion. But unfortunately, it had to devolve to the point where she tweeted, you know, about students that she suspects might be undocumented. And that's one other thing. How does she know they're undocumented? Does she really know? I mean, or is she just assuming because she's profiling her own students?
And you know what, I think that's an important, I'm glad that you pointed that out there, because I think it's important to note that whenever someone gets caught behaving like this and finally gets punished, it's never the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the first time, and it's never the first time that people doing the punishing heard about it.
Exactly.
It is never the first time, and also, I don't care if they are undocumented. These are children.
Exactly.
These are children.
That's what the Supreme Court
said too. And there's a reason that the Supreme Court said, hey, you've got to educate a child. Hey, you've got to medicate a child. These are children. You know how I feel about treating undocumented adults the same way.
Right.
They're humans. But I feel like I thought we were in this world where we would all agree on what type of treatment, regardless of the situation, children deserve.
Right. Well, as we know, most people in the right wing only care about children before they're viable outside a mother's womb.
That's right.
That's the only time. Other than that, let's go ahead and contact Trump to see if he can retaliate against these kids in my classroom. Right. It's unbelievable.
Like, she thought these were private messages. She signed her name to it, put her cell phone number on it. She teaches kids, is responsible for the well-being of children, you know, for hours at a time,
yep,
and then goes home and wants to see them detained.
Yeah.
Let alone the fact that this teacher in Fort Worth actually thought that she could directly talk to, that like the president was going to.
Yeah, like Trump was gonna be like, oh, thank you for the message. I'm gonna do something
about
this.
Let me contact the Justice Department.
Although I don't know. You never know with Trump. I mean, he's been known for like retweeting like racist memes or retweeting whatever animations of CNN getting physically assaulted.
You're right. You never know.
Anyway, and by the way, just one final point I wanted to make. Why did the school board finally do something about this when she has a history of treating her students poorly? She publicly tweeted about it and it caught people's attention. I would argue, and I don't know for sure, this is just my guess. I would argue that this story became public enough where the school board was like, all right, we gotta do something. Because like, how many times is she gonna do this before we get in trouble for our inaction?
I agree. And the students involved in this, these students just even with the potential of being in her vicinity were lucky that every adult at that meeting spoke out against her. Because honestly, at the start of the story, reading it, you know, I wasn't sure how that would go.
Same. I mean, there's been so many stories where the teacher gets, well, there actually aren't that many stories where the teacher gets protected. But in this case, where a teacher does something that seems questionable against students, I was a little surprised to see that there were consequences.
Yeah.
Usually it's, oh, we just found out that this teacher used to work as a stripper, so we're gonna go ahead and fire her.
Right.
Those are the things that we hear about the most.
Absolutely.
But in this case, I'm really happy to find that there were consequences for someone who actually was behaving badly.
Right.
Yeah.
Finally.
We gotta take a break. When we come back, we have some unfortunate news regarding more people who have died in Border Patrol custody. And then later on in the show, we're gonna talk about Trump and how he is going even further when it comes to being cruel to kids in.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Border Patrol custody. Two terrible Border Patrol custody stories.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
We return. Hey guys, welcome back to TYT. If you're watching this online, first of all, obviously you're watching this online. You might be listening to the podcast, but either way, you should be protected, okay?
Yes.
No glove, no love. And your glove in this case should be your VPN.
See, no,
okay.
No.
That was good. Look, I gotta spice it up, okay? I gotta spice it up.
Where's the weird jar?
Normally,
but you
your online condom, okay? It protects you from hackers. You don't want those diseases getting up in your computer, figuring out what you're looking at. Go to NordVPN.com/TYT because you're gonna get a fat discount, okay? I'm wearing hoops.
Don't put the camera on me.
And if you're a longtime TYT viewer, when I wear my hoops, you know what happens.
It's spicy. Okay? It's yes. A little spicy in here. Yeah.
Spicy. Anyway, NordVPN will give you a nice discount, 75% off a 3-year deal, and 1 month for free. So again, go to NordVPN.com/TYT in order to get that discount, and you will not be sorry, I promise. And Cenk is having, let's switch it up, all right? Let's get rid of the glove for a minute. Cenk is gonna be doing a rally in Iowa. We've been talking about this quite a bit, and I wanna make sure you have the details because the date is quickly approaching, June 8th at 3 p.m. You want more information, go to tyt.com/rally. It will take place at Franklin Junior High, and it's in, again, Des Moines, Iowa. All right, great, it's the Revolution Rally. Now we're gonna move on to stuff that's not fun or funny, but we need to make sure that we stay on this and hold the Trump administration accountable. There's been yet another death of an individual who was held in Border Patrol custody. This time it was a transgender woman by the name of Joanna Medina León. The death of León, who's 25 years old, follows that of Roxana Hernandez, a 33-year-old Honduran transgender woman, whose 2018 in custody death sparked protests and calls for an investigation. Hernandez died of a rare disorder that developed quickly because of AIDS. Now, in the case of Medina León, she had asked for asylum at the border on April 11th and was detained in a private detention facility in New Mexico, where advocacy groups say transgender and gay detainees receive poor medical care and are subjected to abuse. Now, ICE has reported 5 in custody deaths since October. To give you more details on Medina León, she was from El Salvador. She was fleeing violence from El Salvador because of her transgender status, and she died Saturday at an El Paso hospital. And by the way, she had asked for asylum, and she was granted asylum. Mm-hmm. There was a case there, again, because of her status as a transgender woman and the unbelievable violence that continues to take place in El Salvador.
And I think it's important to know, because this happens often, she wasn't released officially from ICE custody until she was admitted to the hospital.
That's right.
And I feel like we see that in a lot of these stories.
Yeah.
They are in need of being detained until all of a sudden they're too sick to be there. And it's like, oh, okay, actually we're releasing them.
And as we've said in previous stories, where there have been more deaths of children in some cases in Border Patrol custody, part of the issue is, yes, there is an influx of people seeking asylum at the border. But at the same time, rather than look to policies that would do something about these overcrowded detention facilities, the Trump administration has actually implemented policies that exacerbate the problem. So for instance, when you approach undocumented immigration from a very punitive perspective, some of the sponsors that would come forward and take custody of these children while they undergo their, you know, asylum seeking process are deterred from coming forward because many of them might be undocumented themselves.
And that's the point.
Right, right.
That's the point. And you said just the words that you use, you know, there is an influx of these people, and it's like, you know what, let's stop right there. People.
Yes.
They're people and they're not being treated like it. The cruelty is the entire motivation.
And they think, well, look, the zero tolerance policy where they were ripping kids away from their parents was meant to be a deterrent. And guess what? It wasn't. They thought their cruelty would prevent other people from trying to come into the country, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it didn't is because the cruelty they're facing in their own countries is so horrible, they're worried about losing their lives in their own countries, which is why they're taking this massive risk. They're risking their own lives while they make this journey to the United States. Wait. They're going to the ports of entry in a lot of cases, and they're asking for asylum. They're going through a long-standing legal process, and the Trump administration doesn't want to follow the law. And by the way, if you don't like the law, if you don't like the way the asylum process works, you should really think about who you're electing, because Congress isn't doing anything about comprehensive immigration reform. And I'm not just talking about the asylum seeking process, I'm talking about comprehensive immigration reform that's desperately needed. This is something that has support on both sides of the aisle. Now, of course, there are some who are, you know, vicious toward undocumented immigrants, and I'm not trying to give them credit. But our immigration laws do need to be looked at, and there's been complete inaction when it comes to Congress. And then at the same time, you have the Trump administration deciding—
Just making stuff up
mm-hmm. on the spot. We don't want to follow the laws. It's out of control, and people are literally losing their lives right now as a result of that.
Yeah, this is horrifying because, and of course it was never going to actually be a deterrent, because the reason they're here is because they're worried, they're fearing for their lives.
Yes.
So on one hand you have death, and people aren't traveling here, you know, first class on Delta, drinking wine, sipping champagne. No, it's a horrible journey for a lot of people, but they're willing to risk that.
Right.
For their children, for their own safety. And there's just so many people that are so heartless. It's just, I don't know. I can never get past that.
And David Dayan, who was on our show this week, brought up a really great point. A lot of these detention facilities that undocumented immigrants and detainees are put in are run by privately owned facilities. Mm-hmm. And privately owned facilities have one thing in mind at all times: to turn a profit. And the way that they turn a profit is by cutting costs and not giving these detainees adequate care.
Right.
And this is the reason why we have the problem that we have. The facilities are overcrowded because of Trump's policies in an effort to deter immigration, and because of the fact that we're utilizing these privately owned detention facilities. But instead of doing something to actually show that you value human life, the Trump administration is doing the exact opposite, while simultaneously claiming that these abortion bans are done in an effort to protect human life. No, it's complete hypocrisy, and it's disgusting. Moving on to more border related stories. The Trump administration has decided to completely cancel certain components of the facilities that children are being detained in. These are undocumented immigrants who are seeking asylum. Many of them are children who are put in these facilities that are not detention facilities, but they're meant to shelter the children until their case is heard by an immigration judge, or until there's a decision made about where they're going to end up. So this is not meant to be a prison. This is not meant to be detention. This is meant to be a shelter. And as a result, the shelters have certain programs that educate the kids, that keep the kids safe. And the Trump administration has now decided, no, we're gonna completely cut these programs. The Office of Refugee Resettlement has begun discontinuing the funding stream for English classes, recreational programs, and legal aid. They have been deemed, quote, not directly necessary for the protection of life and safety, including education services, legal services, and recreation. Federal officials have warned Congress that they are facing a dramatic spike in unaccompanied minors at the southern border, and have asked Congress for $2.9 billion in emergency funding to expand shelters and care. So there are shelter employees who are outraged about this. They're speaking to the press anonymously because they're worried about retaliation. And one shelter employee brings up a great point. What are you gonna do all day? If you're not going to have any sort of organized recreation or physical activity, what are you going to do? Just let them sit in their rooms? You know, like they're in prison.
Right.
And that last part was added by me for those of you who are listening to the podcast version of this show. It's disgusting, it's sick, and it just shows you where the priorities are for the Trump administration.
Absolutely nothing lines up with the initial, what we're told are beliefs. How many times have you seen someone who happens to be a Trump supporter on video yelling at some brown person in a grocery store about not speaking English? But then they support a president who runs an administration that would cut English classes.
Oh my God, that's such a good point. That is such a good point.
None of it ever makes sense because cruelty really is the only, that's just it.
Right.
It's not about, I don't even think it's about, you know, hating immigrants so much that you just don't want them to be here as much as it's hating immigrants so much that you want to be mean to them.
That's right. That's like, right.
And that seems crazy and small and small-minded, but look at this.
And you know what? You put that so perfectly because all of the justifications for the justifications they give us for their cruelty to these children is complete BS. It's meant to cover up the fact that it's just pure hatred. Oh, they don't speak English. We're gonna go ahead and cut the English program. Because it's not really about the fact that they don't speak English. It really isn't. You just hate the others.
That's it, yeah, completely. That's completely it. Not to mention how cruel it is to not want to help teach someone English so they can better communicate with the guards.
Right.
Shelter workers, do you know what I mean? With people around them. But just the fact that you don't even really want, you're not doing anything that supports what you say you want. And we've seen this over and over and over again. I bet we could write out a list of examples of, hey, this is what they've said. And then they come and do something that completely checks this out, like marks this out. This doesn't make any sense. They're cutting soccer.
I know.
And sending messages to the leaders of the heads of the shelter to say, hey, we're not paying for this. And we're not paying for this starting back on May 22nd.
How expensive is soccer?
Let's really mess up your, you know, your funding situation here.
Yeah, like are they having trouble funding balls? Is that what's going on? I know Trump seems to lack a pair, but I mean, what's going on right now? This is ridiculous. And for those of you who might be watching, because I know we have some right wingers who love to hate watch this show, and you're thinking, but what about our resources? We're really struggling in the country right now. You want to know why we're struggling? Because you have Republicans who continuously give these tax cuts to the wealthiest Americans. By the way, Trump's tax cuts will cost this country $2 trillion over the next decade. So while you're crying about our lack of resources, just take a look at the root of the problem, because I grant you that there are issues in this country. We do need to fund certain things, but the reason why it seems like we lack resources is because all of that revenue that we could be generating is going in the pockets of this country's millionaires and billionaires.
Or also sitting in jail cells.
Yeah, and the amount of money that we're spending on the private prisons that are detaining these kids and these undocumented immigrants. I mean, why don't we take a good hard look at that? Because there's a huge money-making scheme going on with Trump's immigration policies, right? And the US taxpayer, you know, the middle class and the working class that actually has to pay its taxes are footing the bill for those private prisons.
Yeah.
All right, we gotta take a break. We'll come back with more news and you don't wanna miss it.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's ExpressVPN.com/TYT. Check it out today.
We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at TYT.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment.
So look, we're gonna go to an amazing Fox and Friends clip.
Yes.
That's what's gonna
happen. Trump and Friends, that's what we call it on the Damage Report.
That's what it is, it's definitely Trump and Friends. I'm gonna take my time to read the members' comments and the TYT lives right now, okay? Because on days when Cenk is gone, I've talked about this before, yesterday actually. It's tough to like juggle everything that's going on. I got the live reads, I got the TYT tweets, I got, you know, the communication with the producers. But no, I'm gonna take my time and I'm gonna read your tweets right now. So first, members comments. Punk NATO says, I almost skipped TYT tonight, stuff to do. Seems like you're very busy, but Punkadoo said, Punk NATO. What is Punkadoo? Punk NATO says, then I remembered that Trump was in England. There's no way I missed this. So the next story we have is a little bit about that, and you're gonna enjoy it. Alex says, this is why Cenk got removed from MSNBC. Mainstream media is not structured or ready for real progress, let alone talk proof to power. Cenk just reinforced why I joined. Yeah, I mean, look, I think Cenk is doing a really good job in calling the media out for its blockade on progressives. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy that Cuomo had him on. Not
Me
just
too.
Yesterday, but today, he's gonna be on tonight, right? So it's gonna be great. I mean, I don't know if it's gonna be great tonight, I hope it will. But knowing Cenk, it's gonna be fiery. Amira says, the crossover was arguably better than the latest Arrowverse on Shondaland crossovers. And both those gave me life. And there's another episode? Yes. I don't know what that reference was. Do you?
Well, Shondaland, Shonda is like Shonda Rhimes. So the show's on ABC. But I don't think any of them are running right now. The finale, so I wonder,
But was there a crossover of some sort when they, Arrowverse? The latest Arrowverse or Shondaland crossovers? Anyway, cool. Thank you for writing in. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
We are definitely taking our time.
Eddie O'Donnell says, Anna and Brooke, that sounds like a power panel to me.
Hello.
Yes. And Sean Bouffard says, that's exactly the kind of mistake I would expect a Trump supporter to make. Sean, I'm not entirely sure which mistake you're talking about because there have been so many.
Probably the teacher that thought she was DMing.
Right. Oh, that's good point.
Jeff, but that's funny.
Jeff Waldorf, if Democrats continue to do these investigations with no intention to ever impeach despite what they find, then what's the point of investigations? Excellent point. Yes, what is the point? Are we just like wasting time right now? Is it just political theater or is there an end game here? And then finally, Eclectic Miscellanea, there's no such thing as an illegal student. What a horrible thing to do and say. Everyone should have the right to an education. It's not a teacher's job to determine or report on the citizenship status of their students. They are there to teach all of their students. And guess what? You're not the only one who thinks that. The Supreme Court believes that, which is why they ruled that a teacher cannot deny a student in education based on their immigration status.
Exactly.
All right, and then finally, you should have a website. And if you don't, I have good news for you. You can go to Squarespace. It's easy and you get a discount. Go to tyt.com/Squarespace to sign yourself up. You can even get your URL through Squarespace, which is something I wish I knew before I bought it somewhere else, mm-hmm. Right? So squarespace.com/tyt.
I love a discount. Anytime you guys say discount, you like to say fat discount. It's a really good one.
Yes.
To it, I'm always like, wait, huh? What? And I know everything that's going on here. I don't know. It's just that's a trigger word for me in a positive way.
No, discounts are great. In fact, before we went live today, me, Brooke, and JR had like a little kumbaya circle about how much we love TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Ross. Ross is a favorite for JR. These are great stores. Why wouldn't you go there? Shop for less. All right. They're not sponsors, by the way.
I know, holler at TJ Maxx, okay? No more of the free for you.
All right. Are you ready to dunk on Kilmeade?
Yeah.
Let's do it. So, Kilmeade, and pretty much everyone at Fox has a huge hard-on for the Trump administration. And that was certainly the case when it came to the Trumps and the way that they were received in the UK. Now, I don't wanna give too much away. You're gonna watch the video and you're gonna see the spin doctors do their best to spin what happened to Ivanka Trump. Take a look.
And here the door opens at 10 Downing Street again. And here comes Ivanka
and John Bolton
and some security.
The National Security Advisor and Ivanka Trump walking across together.
Does that sound like some booing?
Yeah, it does. And it's not for Ivanka, it's for John Bolton, and he loves it. He pretty much is looked at as somebody is the tough guy in that administration, and he loves that label.
Oh, yeah, he loves it. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
When I watched it earlier, I was like, what?
Who doesn't love to get booed by a crowd? It's so much fun.
And also, nobody in that crowd knows who John Bolton is.
100%.
Stop.
100%. It was totally directed at Ivanka Trump.
Yes. The famous person. Yes, that's who they're booing.
Yes.
Because that's who they know. What? How do you even come to that logic? Like, and he was quick with it too. Like, he has talking points or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But what I'm actually more shocked by is that there are people who buy that argument.
Right.
Who think
it's gonna be repeated.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was directed at the guy that no one knows. I mean, right. We know who John Bolton
because
is. Because we have to, unfortunately. But like, how do you buy that? And even if you bought that part of the argument, you're a human. So you know how humans feel when they get booed. Who would ever believe that there's an individual out there who basks in the glory of being booed by a crowd of people?
Right, exactly. Right. I mean, come on.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
And recently, I saw this on the Majority Report hosted by Sam Seder. I don't remember the exact details of the story or what spurred the conversation. But there was a woman who got interviewed about the whole Russia investigation and the Mueller report. And the woman was asked about how Trump obstructed justice. And you know, she was given the details. I guess I do know the details of the story. She was given the details of how Trump had obstructed justice. And her response was, I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had done these things. I thought the Mueller report had completely exonerated Trump. And then she was asked, oh, well, where do you get your news? And she said, I only watch Fox News.
Of course, right.
Which gives you a sense of how, look, we are divided, there's no question, but we also live in different worlds, completely different worlds. We're given completely different information. And that is terrifying because sometimes I feel like we sit here and we're like screaming out into the darkness, right? And of course, we have our audience, and I'm so grateful for that. But we got to get further. We got to go further. We got to somehow get the information to people who aren't getting, you know, a full comprehensive look at what's going on in the country.
It's also so hard in this day and age where facts don't matter. And we see it over and over and over again, even on little things, things that don't matter. The president saying that there were no protests against him. There is a building sized blimp of a baby version of him. You cannot tell me he's never seen or heard of that.
Right.
Running around London right now. Like,
no,
do you know what I mean?
Everybody loves me. I have the best approval ratings. I have the best giant balloons. They're celebrating me with a giant balloon.
That's my baby picture because they love me so much.
They love me.
And he was on a recording calling Meghan Markle nasty. And at first he denied it. And then he said he didn't deny it and just added words to his statement as if he said, and it's just, this is all happening.
I didn't see that follow up.
Right in front. Well, he said that, you know, he was saying, he tried to say, you know, I said that what she said was nasty. No, it's not what you said. I think I agree that that's probably what he meant. Mm-hmm. The point is that that's
really
not what you said.
Girl.
I think that he was saying, like, she's nasty for saying bad stuff about me.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I can see that.
But it was still derogatory. It was still not a nice thing to say. It was still, and he was like, you know, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be nasty to her. I can't be nasty to her. She can be nasty, but I can't be nasty to her. What?
And his original statement in his interview was, I didn't know she was nasty.
That's exactly what he said.
That is exactly what he said.
No more, no less. It's exactly what he said. The end of the sentence was nasty.
And he's the kind of person who has this obsession with power and other people who have power.
Right.
And so, you know, I read this really great piece. I believe it was in the Daily Beast about how much he cares about appealing to the royals.
Right.
And so when that news caught fire, I think he was worried that it would somehow negatively impact the Queen's perspective on Trump. But little does he know that Trump overall has completely soured the perception of Trump. Like, you are a crazy person.
Right.
Right? I'm saying this as if he's watching the show. He's a crazy person. There's no question about it. He goes out of his way to antagonize our longstanding allies. He's going after Mexico with tariffs over immigration that in some cases Mexico has no control over. We don't have an influx of Mexicans trying to come into the country. We have an issue with violence in these in El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala. They're trying to come into the country. Instead of thinking about the root of the problem and what he can do to solve the root of the problem.
And what was done, you know, decades ago to create the problem.
Exactly. And look, to be fair to Trump, he's not the one who caused the issues that we're seeing in these countries. But a lot of US policies has contributed to that. So it's
and you take that on when you become leader of this country.
Exactly, exactly. So,
yeah.
Hey, why don't I think about ways to maybe use US aid to help these countries fight the violence so people don't try to come into the United States so we can do something about that. Because let me tell you something. Most people are not looking to leave their country.
Nobody,
unless they're desperate.
Like, right. Do you think about how hard it is for people to leave their small towns? And when you live in a big city, when you've left home and you've already like crossed that hump, you forget mm-hmm. how hard that is that first time.
Super hard.
But think about, nobody wants to leave their entire country and everything they know and everything they love. They love their homes.
Yes.
Nope. And so it's like even thinking about that, like just, you know, there's it's so heartless. It is so heartless. And I, back to the royals, I did also read that story about how much he loves the royals and wants to be liked by them. I read that after the story about how Prince Harry, how hard Prince Harry ducked him.
Yeah, yes.
For an entire day, and it just warmed my heart.
In fact, so Trump really wanted a photo op with the younger royals, mm-hmm. right? So Harry, William, Meghan Markle, Kate Middleton, you get the point. And the reason why he wants photo ops with them is because it'll play well with his reelection campaign. And so at one point, they're looking at some sort of exhibit. I believe they
were- It was like American artifacts, part of the royal collection. Why do I know all of this?
You do know, that was good.
I know a lot about the royal family though, that's so weird.
So they're looking at this exhibit and Harry-
I think it was just artifacts owned.
that was perfect. And so they're looking at these artifacts and Harry agreed to go. And then he realized that there were photographers that were trying to get a picture with him and Trump in the same frame. And he like immediately, like he ducked out.
He left.
So good.
Wild.
So good. All right, Brooke, thank you.
Is it over?
It's over. But there will be more, okay? So thank you for hosting with me.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
Check out Brooke, not only on social media, you do a lot of work on Damage Report.
I do, every day, you know, making John look good. So when he does something great, that's me. He's in Hawaii, he's really far away, so he won't know that I said that. I'm kidding,
way,
it's all John.
Speaking of plugs, follow John on Instagram.
Yes.
Because his vacation pictures are giving me life right
they
now.
They are, I miss them.
They're really cute.
Yeah, they're so cute.
So check it out, and when we come back, we're gonna have Dana Gould and Mark Thompson. See you in a bit.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.